Well, it's now just coming up for 2 months since James died. I can't believe it's 2 months already. Just that sounds such a long time. I'm doing okay, I think. I'm all right indoors. I find being indoors is safe because you kind of get familiarised to things. I've got like pictures of James around and things of his, but because I see them every day, they've stopped making me cry and I'm kind of just like them, like seeing them now. But I did try going out at the weekend and that was very difficult because there's fresh things that remind you of things. So I went to London to meet a friend for lunch and just walking from Charing Cross Station along the Strand, I went past the Savoy and we had such a lovely time. We stayed at the Savoy for one night. Still got to pay that off the credit card. But it was just amazing. And so just walking past there, and then it reminded me of that day, which meant I arrived for my lunch date with a bit teary-eyed. But yeah, so just going out and seeing fresh things that remind you is quite painful and difficult. But apart from that, it's just sort of getting into an ordinary routine again. So just get up and go to work. There's plenty of work to do, so that's good. And that means all day I'm just thinking about work and trying not to be too sad, focusing on that, which I am being able to do, which I'm grateful for. Getting these doggies acclimatized to a different house again, and they seem to have settled okay. They haven't minded downsizing to my little cottage. We've been going for more walks and things, which is good, but one of them, Bradley, the bigger one, the one that James wanted, I saw him in the rescue centre and I said to my sister, oh, not him, he's just too boisterous and whatever. And James was like, no, I want that one. But he is challenging because it's not his fault. He's absolutely lovely dog when we're just indoors on our own and stuff, but he's just got this thing where he just wants to attack other dogs when he sees them, which makes going for a walk or, you know, my daughter can't come over with her dog because it's just all very stressful and unpleasant. So I'm trying to work on that. I'm not quite sure how to be honest. We have sent in an audition tape for dogs behaving very badly, but I don't think he was naughty enough on the audition tape because I just went to my sister's and he knew her already and had met her dogs before. He wasn't quite as bad as he is when we're just out for a walk or whatever. So in some ways I'm like, oh, James, why did you pick this dog? But then I'm just like, actually, I know why. It's because you give me a project, I've got an aim, which is to get Radley well behaved enough to just be able to go for a walk without it being a bit of a trauma. So that's something I'm working on. I have tried getting bought like a soft muzzle from Amazon just to see if maybe I put that on him to go for a walk. It would be better because I'd know he couldn't bite another dog then. And it's funny because he's only small and fluffy. He's not like, you know, he's not like a giant Rottweiler or anything. But he doesn't let me do anything. He won't let me groom him or anything like that. So I don't think I'd even be able to put the muzzle on. But we're going to the vets on Friday for their vaccinations. So I don't know how that'll go. Mulberry, the little one, is absolutely no problem at all. She just joins in when, like, if he goes for another dog, she will join in. But just on her own, she wouldn't be bothered to do that. She's just being a pack animal. So, yes, Mulberry on her own would be absolutely delightful and fine. Radley is a bit of a nightmare. I take them both to work with me, which is fine when I'm just in the office on my own all day. But like when a client comes to visit me, because he doesn't try and bite people, but he is very woofy and noisy when people arrive and when they leave. So I've taken to putting him in the car when I know someone's coming just for the duration of their visit, just to keep him out of the way. So that's not ideal. So that is definitely something I need to be working on. So that's going to be my focus. What has been lovely is so many of James's friends. So like, obviously I've got my friends that I had before I met James. And then we've got like our friends that we met like together as couples. But there's people who I would consider to be James's friends who like he'd known for like years and years and years. And then I've only met them in the last few years. They've been so kind and lovely, like still keeping in touch with me. People still give me a ring to see how I am and say hello, which is really lovely, because you kind of expect people will not do that because they're just getting on with their lives and, you know, they've not known me for years and years. But it's very, very touching that people have bothered to do that. So thank you to all those people. That is nice. It's really nice. So I think apart from that, I'm not quite ready yet to do things like in honour of his legacy in terms of, you know, I will do some work for the hospice. I haven't quite decided what kind of work, some sort of volunteering and obviously do some fundraising and things like that. But I'm not quite there yet. And also for Kidney Cancer UK. So I will be able to do some charity stuff. But not quite yet. The estate sort of probate type of thing is just nothing can happen now until James's house is sold, which at the moment the housing market's pretty flat. We've had like zero interest. And so I have to drop the price on that just to try and get it sold, because there is a time limit. You have a year from the date of death for the equity release mortgage to be paid. I don't know what they do after the year, whether they repossess the house or sling me in jail or something, but time just goes so quickly. So like 2 months have gone already, and there's like, just had one viewing from somebody who didn't want a house with stairs. So why they went to see a house with stairs, I don't know. So I need to get that sold. And then once that's done, I can pay off everything, the credit card, the equity release mortgage and the bequest to family and stuff. And then just move forward a bit. So that's sort of an ongoing bit of a worry. But, you know, it was never going to be that quick. And it's just, I think the housing market isn't great and it's not a good time of year. So all those things conspire against you, but we'll get there, I'm sure. It's a lovely house, so somebody must want it. It's just waiting for the right person. So I think that's kind of where I am. I haven't felt like doing a podcast until now. I've thought about it a couple of times and I just hadn't been in the right frame of mind. I think it sort of hit me harder after the funeral, because up until that point you are very, very busy and it's all a bit of a whirlwind. And then once that's all done and you're just faced with going on with basically a normal life, but just without James in it, it's difficult. It's very difficult. I think because, I mean, it's sad for everybody who loses their partner, of course, but because he was such a big character, such a life force, it's like, it's a lot to miss. It's a lot to miss. And I miss his kindness and his, just, I'm being told I'm beautiful every day. I miss that, because it just, you don't realise how lovely he was, but I do realise how lovely he was. And I'll miss him terribly. But anyway, enough of the maudlin stuff. I hope that everyone out there in the same situation is managing to be just one day at a time and plodding onwards. So I will speak to you all soon. Thank you for listening.